you guys do. I hope that you brought your Bibles today. I hope that you don't just rely on the screen, but that you have your own Bible that you mark in or that you highlight, because as we go over the scriptures, the Holy Spirit really illuminates in our hearts what He is wanting to speak to us. So today we're talking about Adam and Eve, part two. We're doing characters of the Bible this year. We're literally going to go through as many characters as we possibly can. Next week we will be on Adam and Eve's son Cain. The week after that will be Enoch. We've got some amazing stories coming up. But today we're talking about who's to blame. The Bible is very clear that Adam and Eve both sinned, that Adam and Eve both messed up. And as we look at part two of Adam and Eve today, our main scriptures are going to be out of Genesis chapter 2 and 3 again. I put those references up there for you. But as we look at this, what's really interesting is we're talking on leadership today. We have got a major, major failure of leadership in our country. And not just that, but in our families. Focus on the Family just put out yesterday, and I just saw this, that they are warning America that we are at an all-time high of failing families. And to be honest with you, I couldn't think of a better time to share what we're going to share this morning about men being the leaders that they need to be, about women being the leaders that they need to be, and not following or falling into this liberal trap that our country has set up in our world. Because you're going to see through the Bible today how Satan has perfectly orchestrated where we are at today. I mean, he knows what he's doing. But how many of you know, wherever you have an enemy, that God's grace and God's power, God's might is greater than any enemy that we could ever face today. And so we rely on the Bible, we rely on God's power and Jesus' salvation. So number one, the very first human leader that we see in the Bible is Adam. God created Adam. We talked about that last week. He's the very first leader. I went over some stuff with our men on Wednesday night about five things that we need to watch for from Adam's life. And we talked about leadership, that God created Adam to lead, to be the reflection of God in the human race. And as we look at this, he was God's perfect creation. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, let us make human beings, or man, in our image, to be like us, in our likeness." Okay? They'll have dominion over the earth, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the creatures that move along the ground, the livestock. What's interesting is you have Adam as the very first leader in the human race. Genesis 2:7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground," and he wasn't alive yet. So what did God do? "He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." That is so powerful this morning. You know, I said hello to one of our life group leaders this morning, and his response back was, "Hey, I'm vertical. I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm walking. I'm upright." How many of you guys know that is a blessing today, to be alive and breathing and upright and vertical, right? You don't want to be horizontal unless you're sleeping. But here's the deal. As you look at the bigger picture here, God places a leader in charge of what he created. And there's been a failure of leadership. You know, what's really interesting to me, our whole culture, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but almost our entire culture has turned against men. I know men have been abusive. I know men have caused a lot of chaos. But it does not mean that being a man of God, is toxic. Okay, the absence of masculinity is what is toxic, not men. And when you look at that, we need to get back to being the leaders that we should be, that God has called us to be. See, here's the deal on this. What we see God do as the ultimate leader is he told Adam that there was a tree to not eat from. And that was the only warning and word that God gave him. And here's the key today. Adam was entrusted by God with that information. He entrusted God with that. So if somebody entrusts you with something, okay, that's a big deal, because they're literally putting all their trust in you that you're going to do your best with that. And when someone's entrusted with, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, it's very interesting because the Bible says the master entrusted the servants with those talents. All three of the servants, the master entrusted. He entrusted that when he gave them the talents, that when the master left, he entrusted those servants to do something with that. So when the master returns, that there'll be a gain on that, something good from that. So entrusting is a big deal. As we look at this, the Bible talks about in Genesis 2, 15 through 17, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. He entrusted him with that. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit from every tree in the garden. He entrusted him with that. Except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. He entrusted him with that. And what Adam does, and here's the deal today, you're going to see one of the biggest blame games that we've ever seen. People love to blame everybody else. Right now, we have got a huge mess in our country. Right now, there's a huge mess in Venezuela. Right now, there's a huge mess in Iran. I mean, when you look at this, there's a huge mess everywhere. And I can tell you, what's at the very center of it is that people aren't living for Jesus, period. Period. Because when you let any type of sin runs rampant everywhere. And so just like in the Bible, we are entrusted not to add to or take away from what God tells us in his word. We are to correctly handle that. And Adam did not. I want to show you this. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says this. All scripture. Would everybody say all scripture? All scripture? Do not pick and choose what you want in the Bible. Do not pick and choose a verse or two and then throw out other verses so that you can live for the culture. Because that's what we've done. We've cherry-picked the Bible apart like crazy. One of my favorites that people do is in Matthew, it says, do not judge. Do not judge. Boy, that one's thrown around like crazy. But do you also know that the Bible says before you judge someone else, you need to look at your own self and the speck in your eye or the log in your eye before you look at the speck in your brother's eye? That's judging. That's holding someone accountable. So we cherry pick the Bible and we take it apart horribly. The Bible says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. That's how powerful the Bible is. And then the Bible goes on in 2 Timothy 2:15 to say this, work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and watch this, who correctly handles or explains the word of truth. Adam was entrusted with a word from God. And church, this is so important because all false religion has got some form of the Bible in it, some form of truth. But yet what happens is their false religion, their book or their vision or whatever it may be, trumps the Holy Bible. So I want you to think about this. 2 billion people currently follow a man, 2 billion out of 8 billion. 2 billion follow a man who 600 years after Jesus walked this earth went into a cave and received a vision from a demon. Then, when he was in his 50s, he had sex with a 9-year-old girl. That's called Islam. 2 billion people follow that teaching and that religion. I want you to think about that. That's how fast something can change when you take away from the word of God or try to add to it. What's interesting is that is not correctly handling the truth. Adam ended up failing. He was entrusted and let God down. He failed in leadership. And what's interesting is, what was the temptation of Eve? If you look at it, it was pure selfishness. Genesis 3:6. The woman was convinced. The Bible says she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Watch this. And she wanted the wisdom it could give her. Pure selfishness. That's what it was. She knew she should not eat from that tree. And her fleshly desires said, I don't care what God said. I want to do what I want to do. Welcome to our culture today. It is the fight between truth and culture. And when you look at this, she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So God wasn't enough for her. Walking with God in the garden wasn't enough for her. Having that relationship with God every day in total purity, total innocence. The sanctuary that God placed Adam and Eve in, that was their church, the Garden of Eden. That's where God met them every day. And her selfishness took over. She listened to the wrong person instead of God's word. Is anybody with me? She listened and was deceived, the Bible says. And then what did Adam do? The first leader that God created, he listened to the wrong person instead of God's word. Look at the ripple effect and how fast it happened. So here's what's interesting to me, and here's where we want to bring this out today. How powerful is bad influence? The results are staggering. The serpent, the devil. So there's commentaries that say that Satan himself was the serpent and came to Eve. Commentaries say that it was a spirit that was there or that possessed a snake. We don't know. But all we do know is that Satan is the ancient serpent. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 in the Bible. The Bible is very clear. It says this, this great dragon, watch this, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. That's who he is. You know, people think that they can toy around with Ouija boards. They think they can watch all the horror movies they want and not be affected. Let me tell you this. When you toy around, whatever you toy around with will eventually make you its toy. And when you mess with Satan and you do what Satan wants you to do and you open your life up to this stuff, you literally have opened your life up to all of the demonic. The Bible talks about strife. Now, every once in a while, a married couple will not see eye to eye, and you'll have an argument. You'll have a disagreement. Okay? The Bible says, make sure you work that out before the sun comes down. Okay? Here's the deal. We're humans. Relationships are tough at times, right? But what it does talk about is if you allow strife into your marriage or your home, it says every kind of evil could come into your life and home. If you have strife, strife is the open door to every kind of evil coming into your life and home. So what I'm saying is this. When she listened to the wrong words, when she listened to Satan, and he was crafty, he was deceptive, it opened the door up for all sin. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 4, the Bible says this about that ancient serpent, the devil. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat from. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Watch what the serpent does. You won't die, replied the serpent. She just listened to the wrong words. So last week, I pointed out with Adam, false religion will say that Adam is actually Michael the archangel. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says that Adam was Michael the archangel in the flesh. Okay, that comes from Mormonism, okay, and that's added by Joseph Smith. It is a total lie about Adam. And then another lie that's in that false religion is that Michael the archangel helped with the creation. Michael the archangel is a created being. The Bible gives us how the world was formed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters just waiting to be told what to do. Just to be given the word so that the Spirit of God could create it. That fast. Genesis means nothing existed and something exists in that moment. That's how powerful and fast it was. And what's interesting is, when you get false religion, it breaks down to this. You're adding to or taking away from the Bible. Now, I've given you two examples this morning of Islam and Mormonism. And people don't like that. I've had a lot of kickback over the years of trying to show how when you add to or take away from the Bible, how false religion starts. And church, here's the deal with this. You either believe the Bible or you don't. And if you believe that Holy Bible, do not add to it or take away from it. There are commentaries out there. There are historical views. There are things that happened that people actually saw Jesus do. But when you look at it, what's interesting is that when you see God and how he set everything up, he set everything up through his word. See, Genesis 3:6, the Bible says of Eve that she took some of the fruit and she ate it. She listened to the wrong words and then she took action. Adam in Genesis 3:6, this is what's shocking to me. The first leader that God made, Then Eve, she gave some to her husband, who was what? With her. He's standing right there as this creep comes up to his wife. He's standing right there as this serpent, Satan, comes up and deceives his wife, and he does nothing about it. This is shocking to me, because here is God's first leader that he creates. He lets a creep come up by his wife, and then lets that creep talk her into being deceived and taking the fruit from the one thing that God said don't eat from. And he's standing right there, church. I want you to think about this. Adam was the first leader who failed. We think it's Eve. It's Adam. Adam is standing right there. I promise you this. If a creep comes up to my wife, I'm intervening, and intervening very quickly. Is anybody with me? What was Adam doing? I want you to think about this. This is shocking. Where's the responsibility of Adam to his wife and to his family? I mean, this is a huge question. Why wasn't Adam the leader that God created him to be? Step up against the serpent and protect and correct his wife to not do this. He was right there. I mean, was it her beauty and her batting her eyelashes that kept Adam from saying something? I don't know. But all I know is in that moment, he didn't call it out. 30 years of marriage, there have been times that I have had to say something to Beth because she didn't realize something, or many times that she has had to say something to me. Is anybody with me? I gave you the shadow of the doubt, Beth. There you go. Even though you went over 30 seconds again this morning. Here's the deal, okay? So here's the point of this. Why didn't Adam step in and stop this? I mean, I want you to think about this, church. This is the scenario, this is the situation that has spun everything out of control for us. It opened the door to all sin. Why do we deal with what we deal with today? Because of Adam and Eve and their lack of leadership. Think about this. Leadership is everything. Leadership is influence. Again, when we look at what happened here, Adam failed to take responsibility. And here's the key this morning. Adam's failure started at home. That garden was his house. Eve was his wife. And listen, that garden was his sanctuary. That was the church at the time. If we look over history, we've seen so many things happen in families, marriages, and even in the church. In just a short time and just one sin later, Adam damaged every relationship in his life. He got kicked out of the perfect and most beautiful place to ever live and devastated the entire world. Think about that. So much on his shoulders if he just would have obeyed God. And the question would be this: what does your home look like? What does my home look like? It all leads back to one thing, a cowardly refusal to lead in the moment. It's shocking that he was right there and watched the whole thing go down and then participated in it. See, on the back of your sheet this morning, we see deception at its finest, we see temptation at its strongest, and we see two leaders at their weakest. And that's true. If you're in a relationship today, men, you need to lead. You need to lead. Don't let your wife lead you around. You need to lead her. God puts you as the spiritual head of that home. And I promise you this. I even heard it from my wife this year as she got up on the stage and told all of the men on Father's Day, men, we want you to lead. We look for you to lead. We want you to lead us. We look for your spiritual example so that we as women can follow. That was her words. And every woman in here resonated with that. And it's not that God put a man to lord over a wife or a woman. That's called sin. Is anybody with me? What it is the Bible says it's an equal partnership in Christ. But the man is the protector. I don't know, some of you women, I'd hate to make you mad. Is anybody with me? I look at Valerie over here. She's a sweet lady, but she'll throat punch you in a moment if you do something wrong to her family. I promise you. Here's the deal, though. I look at Valerie and Tony, and I'm so glad that God moved them here. They're a beautiful family, beautiful couple, okay? But I know this. As tough as Valerie is, she looks up to her husband and says, Tony, lead. And he's a great man to do that. Church, here's the deal. Don't let the feminist movement get in and destroy your marriage or your mentality. Let me show you something here real quick. Hang with me. Here's the fact. Adam followed his wife rather than God. There is nothing wrong in a godly marriage with a husband following the wife's character or the wife's integrity or the wife's good decisions. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But in this moment, Eve did what was wrong and Adam did not stand up. And what's interesting is this can go both ways. Genesis 3:17 puts it like this. And to the man, God said, since you listened to your what? Come on, don't get quiet on me. This is this situation. Now, if you go out of here and say, Pastor Jerry, Todd, I don't have to listen to my wife, you're dumb. Is anybody with me? I'm just telling you, because you'll pay for that later at your own house. All right? But here's the deal. In this moment, the Bible says this. God said to Adam, since you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. That this opened up all curses. And I want you to see this. This is interesting. 1 Timothy 2:14 actually tells us this, that Adam was not deceived. He used his free will to do what was wrong, but Eve was deceived. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan, 1 Timothy 2:14. The woman, Eve, was deceived, and sin was the result. I want you to think about this. Adam was not deceived in that moment. He used his free will choice to follow his wife. And in that moment, when he was with her, he should have stood up in that moment, not only standing up in that moment, but he should have stood up in that moment and said, you know what? I am not going to let this creep take my wife away and thus ruin the entire world. And he failed in that moment. His wife made a terrible decision, and he followed it. But he was the one that allowed the entire thing to happen. Please know that. I know that Eve had a free will to choose as well, but Adam was right there as the very first leader, the head of his home. He was actually the pastor of the church at the time. Think about it. That was the sanctuary God put them in. And what's interesting is this, that he was the leader. And I want you to watch this. Even though Eve sinned first, Adam is actually held accountable for the entire fall of all mankind, not Eve. Now, both of them equally, they both sin. But as the man, God created Adam first. He holds him accountable for the fall of all mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. When Adam sinned, didn't say when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. Watch this. And so death spread to what? Everyone. Men, again. I'm just telling you, step up and lead. I've not done everything right as a man or as a Christian man. I understand that. I thank God for his grace and his forgiveness. I've not done everything right as a pastor. Okay? We all fail. I mean, Ashley up here was very vulnerable this morning to all of us and said that she has sinned and that she has made mistakes. But God's grace has forgiven her for that. Is anybody with me? That's very vulnerable for her to say. And I will tell you the same. I've not been perfect. I'm not perfect. I won't ever be perfect until Jesus comes back. Neither will any of us. That's why we have to have grace for one another. That's why when somebody gets offended, the Bible says in Matthew 18, don't just go and talk to everybody else. If somebody offends you, go talk to that person. If that doesn't work, then bring a couple more witnesses. If that doesn't work, then get your pastors. Pastors are number three on that, not number one. That's between you and the person. We all have been offended by someone at some point. And church, when we look at the bigger picture here, Adam is held responsible as the man. Verses 14 and 15, same chapter. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness. to many through this other man. And what's his name? Jesus Christ. See, there's grace in the moment of disgrace. There's grace in the moment of a mistake or sin. Sometimes we outright sin and we know fully what we're doing and we shouldn't. Sometimes we get caught up in something, and by the time you sin in that, you're like, what did I just do? It happens to all of us. And church, the thing is, God's grace is so much bigger than any sin that you could commit. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says this, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. Now, I want you to think of this. That's a huge deal. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. That was Adam. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made what, church? Righteous. If we didn't have any hope today, then you are wasting your time being at this church this morning. But I can tell you, you're not wasting your time here this morning, because we've got a God who gave his life for us, who literally his grace is so much greater than any sin that we could have ever done, and we stand in right standing with him when we turn to him and ask for forgiveness. And I'm not talking about asking for forgiveness right before you do something bad, okay? Because that's the mentality of our culture today. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and then I'm going to do this horrible thing. That's not how that works. Okay, here's the deal. Even though God's grace is so huge, you don't use it as a license. Adam and Eve, they blamed each other. Adam tried to blame Eve. Genesis 3:12, watch what he says here. The man replied, it was the woman that you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it. Look at the blame game. He was right there when it happened, and now instead of taking responsibility again for the second time, he fails at leadership. And what does he do? He blames his wife. I've been married 30 years. Beth and I dated for 3 years before that. I cannot remember one time that I would ever, ever throw her under the bus to somebody. We used to have people that were in our lives that did that to their spouses, and we finally got away from that. Because every time we got around those people, and they were in the church, every time we got around them, the wives would destroy their husbands to one another. I mean, literally. And Beth came to me one day and she said, Jerry, I'm sick of this. I can't be around this. I don't want our marriage to be like that. And we literally got away from that group. And what I'm telling you is this. Why would Adam fail with his responsibility again? Because listen, that's how fast and easy it can happen. He was not the man that he should have been. And why? Because Adam was created first and then Eve was a suitable helper for him. She was perfect for him. God created her perfect for that marriage and for that relationship. And what does he do? He throws her under the bus. Church, we've got to be real careful in our marriages, because here's the deal. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, those reels are constantly bashing someone. Constantly. Whether it be leaders in our nation, or the neighbor next door, or the boss at work, or the law enforcement, it's every time you see a video almost, somebody's bashing someone. And if you're not careful, that influence can sneak into your life, and the next thing you know, you are throwing your spouse under the bus to somebody else. I want you to think about this. That's our culture today. Nothing has changed since this day. God help our marriages and let him put his hand upon them. God held Adam responsible for his family and for all humanity. And I want you to notice this. God questioned Adam first. He did not question Eve, because Adam was the leader that he created first. Eve was deceived and Adam was not. We read 1 Timothy 2:14 as he literally stood by and watched her being deceived. But I want you to look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:22. The Bible says it like this. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to who? Man, you guys are awfully quiet. What's the deal? Did I put the wrong scripture up there? No. Everybody dies because we belong to who? There we go. Adam. I know this is a little heavy this morning, but if you want your marriage to be the best, and you want your family to be the best, and men, if you want to be the best leader that you can possibly be, ladies, you want to be the best leader that you can possibly be, we got to engage in stuff like this. We got to hear stuff like this because iron sharpens iron. The Word of God penetrates deep in our hearts and it changes us. I mean, I wish I could have come to you today and said, hey, let's just talk about love today. Let's just have an easy Sunday. Love, right? Yeah, guess what? America loves sermons like that, but this is what we need. This changes us. This holds our marriage accountable, yet makes sure that nothing comes into our marriage. As we look at this, it's very interesting because when you do not listen to and you do not apply God's command to you, you will fail. It's that simple, and that is Satan's greatest thing that he wants to see in our lives is that we fail at not listening to God. James 1:22. Here is a real life example right now in our church. So the Bible puts it like this. Here's James. But don't just listen to God's word. You must what? Do what it says. Watch what it says here. Otherwise, if you don't do what it says, you are only fooling yourselves. The American church experience has done this. I go to church, I listen to good preaching, I hear the scriptures, I love the songs, and that makes me feel good. I feel good about myself. I feel good about that experience. I feel charged up. Man, what a great church service that was. But the deception that Satan has got in many churches worldwide is that the people don't respond and they don't apply what they heard. They just feel good. Is anybody with me? Don't become that person. Don't let Satan get you in that trap. Make sure that what you hear, you apply. And watch this. This is really interesting. Adam mismanaged God's creation. Genesis 3:17. And to the man, he said, listen, you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat. The ground is cursed because of you. Watch this. All of your life now, you're going to struggle to scratch a living from it. All of your life now. Adam, you brought the curse upon yourself. And church, we do the same thing. If we'll listen to the Lord, listen, he's going to have your back and he's going to guide you the way that you should. If you disobey God, you're taking those things into your own hands. And then guess what? The curse that was unleashed on Adam, the curse that was unleashed on Eve in this world has access to you, has access to your marriage, has access to your kids, has access to your workplace. Man, there's some workplaces that there's so much strife that all kinds of evil is happening. And it's because the leadership in that place is not living for the Lord, and maybe people get caught up in it. When you look at this, when blaming others for something that you did, excuses make a very, very poor leader. It's true. Excuses get you nowhere. My senior year, I've told you my testimony, my senior year of high school, I gave my life to Jesus. I finally realized that I needed to make a decision. When I made that decision, I had to ask God to forgive me of things that I had done. And I got to start over. I haven't been perfect since then, but I am telling you, I've seen a change in my life. My wife will tell you, being with me for 33 years, she has seen a change in my life, and I've seen a change in hers. God transforms people when you give him your life. And here's the interesting thing. Spiritual leadership takes a willingness to be responsible. If not, then you're not being the spiritual leader you need to be. On B, on the back of your outline this morning, Adam failed God with the resources that he had been given to him, the relationships that God placed him in, and in the sanctuary. So here's what's interesting. This was his home, his family. This was his church, everything. And he ruined it all in one moment. What would have fixed all of this if Adam would have been the godly leader that God created him to be in that moment, if he just listened to God? Men, lead your wives and your kids. You're right there with them. Don't let evil get into your home or to your marriage. Don't let it happen. That's your responsibility, men. It's your responsibility. Listen, if you have a 9-year-old kid that's got a phone, and they're on that phone watching whatever they want to watch, and you don't know what they're looking at, that's on you, parents. I know we don't want to hear it, but we give our 8 and 9-year-old kids a phone with total access to everything. They're looking at things at 9 years old that I didn't see until I got married. Anybody? It's our culture today. We need to make sure that we take responsibility. Men, please lead your wives and kids. You're right there with them, just like Adam was with Eve. Men, step up in this city. Step up in this county. It starts with your house. Joshua 24:15 says this, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you're going to serve, whether it be the gods of your ancestors, served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites where you live right now? But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." I'm going to go even a little farther. Church, we've got to be careful what we watch and what we bring into our home and lives. The Bible says the eyes are the lamp of the body. Some of the number one rated shows right now have the most explicit sex scenes and the most vulgar language, and we don't even think about it anymore because we love the show. What you're doing and what you're allowing into your home, the reactions that you're going to have, that stuff's going to manifest itself eventually. I'm shocked at our culture today. Yellowstone, that is the number one watched show still today. Okay? The mountains, the ranches, the cowboy scene. It's like the last of the last of the last. I get it. But we have hailed Beth Dutton a hero. She is abusive. She's filthy. She's a drunk. And yet, everybody literally, I've heard thousands and thousands of women say, "Don't you Beth Dutton me, or you'll get that result." Anybody with me? Look what we've done. And what are we telling our young girls? We want you to grow up like Beth Dutton? Come on, is anybody with me? I'll go out on that limb today to say, be very careful, church. And that's your choice. I'm not telling you what to watch or don't watch. The Holy Spirit is good enough at that, for that, with me and you. But what I'm saying is, look at how a nostalgic show that, I mean, how many people would not want to be in Montana at that ranch? Come on, anybody? What a beautiful place. What a beautiful area and a beautiful life. But yet, look at what they've done in the show to create what we've got in our culture today. And what you're seeing is culture playing out through the shows. I'm not here to tell you what to watch today. That is not my job. But I will tell you this. When it comes to leadership, you are the only one in charge of what you allow into your life and into your home and your family. Please hear my heart today. Okay, I'm not trying to... Listen, back in the day in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they would get up and preach, "Don't you dare go to a movie. If you go to a movie, you're going to go to hell." Anybody remember those days? Listen, there's some really good movies. Go enjoy those. There's nothing wrong with going and seeing a good movie. But you have to discern, is what I'm watching going to hurt me more, or is it going to help me? Watch this. This is interesting here. Ladies, please don't be deceived. Eve was deceived. Do not listen to Satan. Don't allow him into your life or into your home. Sadly, many men and women today still drop the ball in leadership. And church, I'll be honest, I'll be accountable for what I preach. I could not go through part two of Adam and not preach this. Because I need you to hold me accountable, and I want to be in your life to hold you accountable. Some of you have already checked out on me because you're like, "Don't tell me what to watch or don't watch." I didn't tell you that. Trust me, I know. That thought already came into somebody's head. Who are you to get up and tell me what I'm going to watch and not watch? Well, if you can sit there and watch this stuff and it not bother you with what is said and what is done, you need to revisit God. Because do you really want to become that? Do we really want to become? I said this a long time ago. All the movies in Hollywood that we've watched and seen, they're going to manifest one day. It's going to come to life one day. All these things, it's all spiritually driven. Now, I want you to think about this. It's all spiritually driven. Everybody's looking for something supernatural. So we put that in everything that we do. And what Satan has done is he is crafty. He is so good. Social media today is going to be the downfall of our society. I'm telling you. If somebody falsely accuses you of something, if somebody were to do a post and say, "Hey, did you hear what Pastor Jerry did? Or did you hear what DJ did? Or did you hear what Sheila did?" Before anybody can even had a chance to even stand up for themselves, social media has literally destroyed that person within minutes. It is going to be the downfall of our society. And it creates chaos. It creates mobs. It creates everything because people are getting dumber and dumber. And people are just literally going with the flow of liberalism instead of being a godly person. I'm not saying don't stand up for something that's right. I get that. But don't get sucked into the trap of what is happening in our culture today. Because it is so anti-God, it's incredible. What's the result? The damage and destruction to Adam and Eve. The ripple effects. They're still devastating today. Eve's sin causes much pain to women. And she was the first mother to ever experience pain and death and then the murder of her son. Genesis 3:16 says this. When you look at the way that God spoke to Eve, he said, then God said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. I want you to think about that. So because of sin, there's going to be pain in birth. But before sin, there was no pain. She had a perfect body. Adam was perfect. I want you to think about that. Look at what the curse of sin has unleashed. How many of you have had children? You know what we're talking about. I'm going to tell you, I went through a lot of pain. Beth squeezed my hand during our first ascent. I couldn't even feel my hand. My hand was like this for 2 days. Like she squeezed my hand, right? I tell her all the time, girl, I went through it. I'm telling you, I went through it. I get it. Yeah, then she gives me a drop-dead look and says, you have no idea, buddy, right? Ladies in here, that's why there's pain in childbirth. And what's interesting is this. Genesis chapter 4, 7 and 8 says this. Here's God talking to Cain, and he says this, the son of Eve and Adam. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door. It is eager to control you, but you must master it. You must take your free will and choose not to sin. Do what's right. And watch what he does. One day, Cain, even though hearing God, suggested to his brother, let's go out in the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he murdered him. He killed him. And the same thing, God gave Cain an opportunity to do what was right, and Cain ignored him again. Here's what's interesting, church. Number two, as we close today, and this is the one I lose a lot of people on, but it is what it is. Eve's sin opened the door up for the feminist movement, period. Watch this. Genesis 3:16. Look at the scripture yourself. Then he said to the woman, I'll sharpen the pain of your pregnancy and the pain you'll give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Welcome to the feminist movement. Welcome to liberalism. This is what we see today. Now again, I know that men have been horrible to women over the decades and centuries. I understand that. Men need to be held accountable. Men, if you abuse your spouse or your kids, you need to go to prison. Period. You better get your act together. I remember an Easter that we had. I remember a teenager that we had in our youth group 1 year came in bawling. And he said, Pastor Jerry, I thought you said that this was his first words to me. He's crying, weeping. I thought somebody died. He said, Pastor Jerry, and Beth was right there. He said, I thought you said Jesus was alive today. This is on Easter Sunday. I said, buddy, he is. What is wrong? And he said, I watched my dad choke my mom and throw her on the ground this morning. And now we're all at church and everything's fine. That was his words to me. So I got 6 guys to go with me. And I walked up and confronted that man that morning on Easter. And I told him, I said, here's the deal, buddy. Don't ever touch your wife again like that. I know what happened. And he was in shock. He couldn't believe his son told us. And I said, you'll get a visit from all of us men right here. And I had 6 men behind me. You bet I was intimidating him. You are a pastor, Jerry. Listen, a man should never abuse a woman. Period. Period. But then I came to my senses after I was upset. And I said, we'll call law enforcement on you. You'll pay for this. Men, we've got to lead. Look at what our culture and society has become. But what's happened is I understand that all that's happened, but the feminist movement is shocking to me. Because one version says you'll desire to control your husband, he'll rule over you. The desire shall be for your husband. What it is, you'll want to take his place. You'll want to be in that leadership role. That is not how God created this. I am not saying that woman is not as important as man. Do not go out of this church today saying that to someone. We're all created equal in God's sight. But when it comes to a role of leadership, God put the man in charge of the home. He put the man in charge of the wife to lead her, to protect her, to guide her through life as she is pouring into those kids. And he is a leader to the children and to the wife. And what's happened with the feminist movement is now the woman says, we don't need a man. And guess what? We are in charge. I'm not talking about a woman working and being in leadership at the workplace. If you have those skills and you work hard, you deserve that, lady. Is anybody with me? You deserve, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, you deserve that, lady. Stay home with your kids if you can. If you want to go work, work. But what I'm saying is this. Look at the feminist movement today. Look at the liberalism. It all started right there when Eve opened up the door to sin. You got to have a backbone when it comes to leadership, not a wishbone, and especially when it comes to the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 calls Satan our great enemy. He's not just our enemy, he is our great enemy. And the same Satan that was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve is the same Satan today that is after your family, after your marriage, and after your kids. Romans 7:21, we talked about this last week. Whenever I want to do good, this law is in effect. Whenever I want to do good, evil is right there beside me. How many of you guys have found yourself in that trap? You want to do good, and the next thing you know, you did what you shouldn't have done. I'll be honest, my hand's up. Okay, two people, three. We don't like this part, do we? But here's the deal. That's a fact of life. We've all screwed up and messed up. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his forgiveness. I don't want you to sit here today and rehash the pain. I don't want you to sit here today and go back to the past. I hope today that you're able to look in the rearview mirror, though, and go, thank God I'm not that man or that woman I used to be. Thank God I don't act like that anymore, or talk like that anymore, or do that anymore. Thank God that God's grace reached me. Thank God my marriage wasn't like it used to be, because God changed my marriage. God changed me as a father and as a dad, and he's changed me into an incredible father and dad to lead my kids. Watch this as we wrap up today as our team comes back. This was their home, their family, and their sanctuary. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, because literally the issues of life comes from that. Adam did not guard his heart. Eve did not guard her heart, and we are where we are today. Jesus stepped in and saved us from sin. There's an incredible picture today of God's grace. Even though Eve sinned, salvation came through, watch this, salvation came through her seed. Even though sin came through her, salvation, her seed, the lineage, the descent, came from Jesus through her. Genesis 3:15, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, talking to the snake, between your offspring and her offspring. Now watch this. He will strike your head or crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Satan, when Jesus was crucified, struck and thought that he poisoned everything. He thought he won. But Colossians says that when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, he made a public spectacle of all of them. All the demons. He publicly put them to shame. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life. So yes, Adam and Eve screwed up. They screwed up bad. But isn't it awesome how God takes what was wrong, he can forgive, and he literally can bring salvation through all the bad stuff. I'm not saying go out and do a bunch of bad stuff. Is everybody with me? But when we do screw up and we repent, God somehow works through all of that, church. You wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today without it. If you would stand with me today, I got one more scripture for you. Lamentations 3:25. It says this: the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. I don't know the rest of the story on Adam and Eve. There's some things in the New Testament that we've read, but I don't know all of the actions that they took. But I do know this for us: if we seek the Lord, He is good. And if we put our hope in Him, He is our salvation. He will forgive you of what you've done and give you a brand new start. But if you want to continue to walk in evil, if you want to continue to walk in evil desires and sinful ways, that's up to you. But you will pay the price like Adam and Eve did. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I do it for this reason. I want to see men and women and kids. I want to see families and marriages. I want to see the strongest of the strongest. I want to see the best of the best. That's why Beth and I do what we do. We've been doing this for 30 years now, over 30 years. And I can tell you, it's amazing to watch people finally get it with God, where God touches their life and touches their relationship, touches their family, touches their marriage and kids. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. The church, today, can you say that it's well with your soul? If you're here today, and there's been some things that the Holy Spirit has brought up in your heart and has reminded you of, that maybe you've not asked forgiveness for, or maybe you're continuing in, would you take a moment to work that out with God today? Don't let your pride get in the way. Ask forgiveness and change so that you can be the best husband and father and man that you could ever be, to be the best mom and to be the best woman that you could ever be, the best wife. Teenagers, be the best teenagers that you can be. Enjoy your life, but honor God while you enjoy it. I hope you see my heart this morning. I know I talked on some hot buttons today, but I hope you see that the scriptures are here to help you, not to slam you, not to condemn you, but to convict you so that we honor God in our lives. If you want to see a nation change, it starts in your own home. That's how that works. Because if our homes are all screwed up, our entire nation's going to be screwed up continually. How many are with me today? I love God's word. I know it's hard sometimes, but I love God's word. Father, we thank you today for your word. You're so amazing. I thank you that even though one man, Adam, sinned and brought sin and death to the whole world, that one man, Jesus Christ, came, and he is the salvation of everyone who turns to him. Today, if there's anybody here, God, that is not a Christian, that they would turn to you today, that they would ask forgiveness for their sins, and that they would confess you as their Lord and Savior, that they would believe that you are alive, and they would believe that you are the Lord of all salvation. I pray today that they would make you Lord of their life, and a brand new start would come to their life today, that their past would be gone, that a new start would happen for them. God, I pray over marriages today and families. Lord, I pray over the church. Just as Adam and Eve had their family and their home and their sanctuary all in one place, I pray that we would protect what you've given us, that you've entrusted to us, our marriages, our family, our spouses, our kids, our church. God, I pray that we would guard our hearts and we would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, this is your time to respond to God. I don't know what God's been speaking to you today, but this is your time to talk to Him. Don't miss this moment. I get out of the way so that you can have a moment with God to apply what you've heard, because I don't want you to walk out of here not doing that. So let's sing this together, but it's also your time to pray to the Lord and respond to Him as well. So let's end on this one as well.
When peace